This morning, I want to finish up the series of lessons that I began several weeks ago on four spiritual activities, four spiritual verbs that we find in Scripture. The first one that we looked at was that we need to learn to sit, sitting with Jesus. We saw that it speaks of rest, it speaks of fellowship, and it speaks of authority, a place of authority. Then we look at standing. We found that to stand, to make a spiritual stand, or to have a standing in Christ, speaks of strength and stability. Also speaks of commitment, to be immovable, to be faithful. Last week we looked at what it means to walk. Walking is something that speaks of our daily conduct, that which is methodical, that which is has a purpose, and is one step after another. It's a consistent conduct that is in accordance with the Word of God. The last one this morning that we want to consider is that of running. All of these, the child of God is to do all of them constantly. They speak of different aspects of our fellowship, our walk, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life is to be a balance of sitting, standing, walking, and running. So this morning we'll consider this spiritual activity of running and what it means. There are actually two aspects of running as we look at the literal activity. That's where we always start to try to get some characteristics. Why does God use these verbs? Why does He make this analogy of running in the spirit realm? So I want to break it down in two aspects. First of all, why do non-athletes run? And then we'll look at why athletes run. But those of us that are not Olympians, those of us that are not professional, occasionally we have reason to run. Those reasons get fewer and fewer as we get older, but the reason that we do run would serve then to emphasize exactly what's involved. Why do people run? Why do mothers with small children, why do they run? Well, it's not for exercise, though they get it, but why do they run? Why do wives run to meet their sailor husbands when their boat comes in on the dock and they see them for the first time? Why do they run after them to meet them and greet them? We see that there are times of urgency and there are times of great joy that make non-athletes burst into that activity of running in the natural. Those such times of urgency and of great joy, they stir up within us a passion and a zeal that results in the intensity of running. Your muscles take on a whole new action and activity because of the intensity of the moment, because of running. And this is exactly what is emphasized in the spiritual realm when we are told to run. It's speaking of us having an intensity because we understand the urgency of certain things, and because we also have great joy because we understand certain things. And that great joy and the urgency of understanding certain things in the spirit realm will cause us to be intense in our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin by reading Psalm 119. One of several scriptures that tell us that we are to run. Even when we get beyond the desire and the ability to run in the natural, we are still to be running spiritually. I know those who use walkers in canes, in the natural, that are still running in their spiritual realm. And this is what's pleasing to the Lord, and this is what all of us should endeavor to do. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Now, in the spiritual realm, an enlarged heart is not a bad thing. In the natural, that has some problems. But it simply means that it is without restriction, that it is able to function as it ought to function. You enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. This passage gives us a good overall understanding of what we are to be intense about. We are to be intense in our obedience to the Word of God, to our understanding of the revealed purposes of God. We are to be intense about that. We are to understand the urgency of our obedience, and we are to understand the great joy that it brings when we obey the Word of God. And that will cause you not to be half-hearted about the things of the Lord, or about spiritual matters, or about your spiritual life, but rather you'll be whole-hearted, with an enlarged heart, a heart that is unrestricted, that functions as it ought to function. The psalmist knew God would give him a burning desire, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We need to ask ourselves this morning if that's really your desire in life. What is it you want out of life? There are so many goals out there. People are so intense about so many things. Right now we're seeing a lot of intensity in the political realm. People are intense about politics. People are intense about a lot of other things in life, their careers, their hobbies. They put a lot of time and effort in those things because sometimes it brings them great joy. Some of them are sincerely believe there's an urgency that needs to take place in these realms. And so because they feel the urgency, they're passionate about those things. They're intense about those things. Some of those things have their place. I'm not saying that all of them are bad. But saints, over and above everything else, we need to run after Christ. We need to be intense about our spiritual life and about the spiritual life of those around us. We need to understand the urgency of our message and of our responsibility. We need to understand that it's the only message that brings fullness of joy to ourselves and to our loved ones and to those around us. Too many of God's people, rather than running, they drag their feet when it comes to spiritual things. In fact, some of them come kicking and scratching. And if they do any running at all, it's in the opposite direction of the will of the Lord. And saints, we need to understand how destructive it is to run from the will of the Lord. We need to understand the urgency of our need to run in the will of God and of the great joy that it brings. In Job 23, you can spell it however you want, it's still Job. Job 23, Job understood his urgent need of the Word of God, an understanding of what God desires of us in this life in preparation for eternity. He didn't always understand what God was doing by the details of his life, but he had this faith. And he knew that no matter what his experience was, blessing or great trial and suffering, he knew he needed the Word of God above everything else. above anything else. That's pretty urgent. Job 23 verse 10 says, "But he knows, the Lord knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Anybody being tested this week? Who's your Lord? What does the Word of God tell you about him and his working? Job was suffering more than any of us have ever suffered or probably will ever suffer. And he had this wonderful knowledge. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now before I get through preaching here this morning, some of you are going to be hearing subtle messages from your stomach. It's going to start to gurgle and grumble a little bit. Why? Because you're hungry. You need, your physical body needs food. Your physical body and your spiritual life need the Word of God more than anything else. This body that is the temporary tent of our spirit and our soul, it is to be surrendered as an instrument of righteousness in obedience to the Word of God. We need to know the Word and submit to it more than we need to eat. And saints, I need to eat. I need to eat regular, and I need to eat often. But that only emphasizes how much more I need the Word of God. Do you understand the urgency of that? Most of God's people don't. They never open their Bible. They never take time to study it at home in prayer and meditation. They don't take time to come to Bible study and to read the Word of God and to hear it proclaimed. I was always amused when I went to youth camp when Brother Jesse Franklin was the director. At lunchtime, right before the lunch whistle or bell or foghorn was blown, a lot of young people would just come up to the front of the door wanting to be the first in line. And so they were all kind of crowding around there, each one person around, pushing the other to try to get to the front of the line. And then as soon as that foghorn or whistle, whatever it was that particular year, was blown for supper, then people would just scurry out from all parts of the camp. They would just run to the mess hall. They were intense, and they ran because they needed that food. Saints, you know what revival is? From time to time, people say, you know, Brother Doug, we need revival. And you know what? We do. Amen. We need revival. You know how it comes? By people running to the front door to get in to hear the Word of God. That's how it happens. As God begins to stir hearts for a hunger for His Word, and then that Word transforms lives. Preaching doesn't do it. The Word of God, believed, received, applied, it changes lives. And then God has the liberty to work in people's lives. The Spirit has liberty to fill and to guide and to lead. But we need the intensity. Not a half-heartedness, but an intensity for the Word of God. When we do that, we'll also know the great joy. And it'll cause you to just to want to run more. Titus chapter 2. God is looking for such runners. A zeal for the things of the Lord. When we come to the Word of God, you need to come with this intensity, this zeal. This is my life. This is my peace. This is what gives my life significance, meaning, and wisdom. I'm going to run after the Word of God, and I'm not going to let anything hinder me, because that Word is what points me to Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." This is the fundamental revelation that will stir you to zeal and intensity and to run after Christ. "He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." What kind of people? What makes us special? Zealous for good works. "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Saints, does this describe you? Zealous of good works. Works of obedience. Works of faith. Works that are the result of having received and depended on the grace of God. Are you zealous for those works? As I mentioned, people are zealous about sports, many things that in and of themselves are not bad. But when it costs your zeal for Christ, things are out of balance in your life. Things are wrong. When zeal for the family, zeal for your career, zeal for anything else, when you are more intense about other things than you are about your spiritual life or the spiritual life of others, things are wrong in your life, and they do not lead to the fullness of God. Colossians 3:23. This is what it means to run. These are passages that are familiar to most of you, but this is what it means to run in your spiritual life. And if these things do not characterize you, you're not running. You need a sense of urgency. You need a sense of joy at the things of the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 23, "And whatever you do," that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? "Do it how? Heartily," that is with your whole heart, "zealously, as to the Lord and not to men." So everything else in your life, your career, your family, your hobbies, they're all to be in submission and they are to be done. Didn't say you can't do them, can't participate in these other things, but all of them are submitted to your obedience to God in all of those areas of your life. And you do it not just half-heartedly, well, you just, you know, if it happens, if the will of the Lord happens, it's okay with me. You wake up every morning and you intensely seek the Lord for his direction and say, "Lord, today I want to please you. I want to please you when I go to work today. I want to please you when I have that luncheon date with my friend. I want to please you. I want to bring glory to you in whatever I do today, that I might be ready when Jesus comes." Too many Christians, their obedience to the Word is forced or mundane. From young people to older ones, we need to ask ourselves if we know how to run. Whatever you do, what about your, I'm just going to mention a few things. This is where I quit preaching and go to meddling, they tell me. But the Word of God says to speak his word with all authority. His authority, not mine. What about your private reading of your scriptures, of the Word of God? If the only time you open your Bible or hear the Word of God preached is when you come to church, you're not running. You're not running. You need to zealously go to Scripture and realize this is where I have my peace. This is my wisdom for life, for living. This is my instruction. And so I need to zealously go after it, to read it, to study it, to know it for myself. Not just what Brother Doug tells me I need to know, but what the Word of God tells me is for me. Do you set aside time? That's what it means to be zealous. Zeal and intensity doesn't mean panic. That's not zeal intensity. Some of the calmest people I know are some of the most intense people I know. Because they understand the urgency of certain things and they do it heartily as under the Lord. Set aside time for your private study. Not just to read the Word of God, but to meditate on it and to study it. Church attendance. Do you just show up at church? Or do you spend time praying for the meetings? You spend time praying for me. Not just that I feel good and have a happy life, but do you pray that I seek the Lord for the message and that I would deliver it despite all the battles that there are in the physical realm and spiritual realm, that I would deliver it in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit? If you're zealous, if you're running, you won't just show up at the door. You'll pray long before you get here. That's an intensity. That's an urgency about these meetings. You'll arrive on time. Oh, boy. Hope some of you got steel-toed shoes on. You'll arrive prepared to listen. Why? Because Brother Doug said so? No. Because you're intense about what's going on here. Because you believe what's going on here has eternal value. And that souls need to hear it. Lives need to be transformed. It's important what we do here. You run to church. Maybe not literally, but spiritually. Our Sunday school teachers, I thank God that we have such good Sunday school teachers. They run. They don't run, they're not going to be teaching very long. But take it seriously. To study, to be prepared for your classes. Because you know that hearts and minds are at stake here. That eternal things are what this is all about. Those who sing special music. This is the intensity. You want to know what it means to run. You know, we can talk about all of the generalities. I can do all the buzzwords and try to get all the amens I can get. But this is what it means to be zealous of good works. Special music. Do you take that seriously? Do you take time to find the songs that will actually minister to God's people? Not just because you like a tune, but they're spiritual songs? Be serious about the talents and the ability God's given you. Do it as unto the Lord. I've never been able to understand Christians who try to serve and obey the Lord and at the same time murmur and complain the whole time they're doing it. I don't have a lot of tolerance. I don't have a lot of patience. Not because I don't have tendency to murmur and complain, but because the Holy Spirit, when I fall into that trap, and I have, the Holy Spirit always brings it so clear to me, who are you serving? Why do you do what you do? It's for the one who died for me. For the one who's coming again. There are those that say, I don't know why I'm always the one that has to do everything. Or nobody appreciates what I do. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and He always appreciates loving obedience. And it doesn't matter whether anybody else does or not. I serve Him. Yes, I serve you. I serve others. But I serve Him first and foremost, and it's in my service of Him that I serve you. And the same of you for me. 2 Chronicles 31. This is the kind of zeal we need in our spiritual life. And we all go through times of dryness. We all go through times that we are spiritually tired and don't feel like running. Anybody not had that experience? Some of you may be there now, I don't know. But we've all been there at one time or another. We need to run. Jesus is coming. I mentioned earlier on this series that the Olympics was going, the marathon, and how that the marathon is probably the best illustration of the Christian experience. Because it's long and hard and it's kind of boring to watch. But as I watched, and I watched both the men and the women marathon, and the same was true of both of them. As they came to the end, those that were in the front, they didn't say, oh, I'm close now, I'm just going to slow up and walk in. What'd they do? They picked up their intensity. They stepped it up. Saints, do you see the end is near? Some people don't. That's why they're not running. But now's not the time to get slow and lazy. Now's not the time to become indifferent. Now's the time to pick up the pace. Now's the time to run. 2 Chronicles 31:20. Hezekiah felt an urgency to obey the will of the Lord and to do what was right. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. If you're an underliner, underline that one. That's what I want to do with my life, that which is good and right and true before the Lord, in His estimation of things. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. And so he prospered. That's how we are to go about things. Everything in our life. I mentioned the family, the career, and then as we come to the local assembly and to our spiritual life, our prayer life, our assembling ourselves together, all of those things are to be characterized by a zeal and an intensity, because we know the hour. We know it's urgent, and we know the great joy in doing the will of God. The joy part of this, I find a good illustration. I won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, in Matthew 28, Jesus, well, actually the angels appeared to several women at the empty tomb of Jesus, and they told them that Jesus had risen, and they got all excited. And then on the way back to the disciples, they met Jesus, and Jesus said, rejoice, go tell my disciples I'm alive. Tell them everything's going to be all right. I'm going to meet him in a little bit. When those ladies met the resurrected Christ, when they were given the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know what it says they did? Well, they moseyed on down to the market, picked up a few things for dinner. They stopped by and played bridge with their neighbors. And then they eventually got over to Peter and John saying, oh, by the way, Jesus is risen. They were so full of joy, they ran to tell them that Jesus was risen. They had an urgency and a joy. They knew the urgency that they needed, the disciples needed to hear this message, and they knew the joy that it carried. Saints, that is what is to characterize us. This is why we are to run. This is why we are to be urgent. We have the message that the world needs to hear. And yes, I know the world's getting darker, and I know things are getting worse, and we should anticipate that. We've been told it's coming. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm on a race course, and I have a message that people need to hear, that Jesus saves, transforms, and prepares to rule and reign with Him. And I want to be urgent with that message, because I know the great joy that it's brought to my life and the great joy that it will bring to all of those that will hear it and obey it. Jesus is risen. He's alive and He's coming again. I'll just have to tell you about the athletes. Another aspect of running that is essential. Non-athletes run because of the urgency of the situation, because of the joy, the passion. But athletes run, there's an added aspect to the running of an athlete. It's training. There's a prize involved. There's an understanding of a value at the end of that race. And that's an important part of this Christian running. We need to train for it. With the Word of God, by practice, by exercising in faith. But most of all, we need to not lose sight of the prize. Paul, I'll give you the references. You write them down if you wish. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul speaks of this race. Not all are going to win the prize. Paul himself, though he was called to be an apostle, if he didn't run a race that was disciplined, and that was in accordance to the instruction of the Word, he said he would be disqualified from that winning that prize. So he wanted to run in such a way that he would win the prize. In Philippians chapter 3, he tells us who that prize is. It's Christ Himself.
Hallelujah.
Not as our Redeemer. Eternal life is a gift. Before you come to Jesus Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin, and dead people can't run. But when you accept Jesus Christ, you're given life, and you're placed on a race course. And for all of those that are faithful to run after Christ, He promises to sit with Him in His throne. He promises to have an eternal partner, the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. But it's only for those who have been zealous for Him. Look at the vast majority of those that are truly born again. And in the description of what it means to run here, can you say they're running? They're on the race course, but they're not running. Paul in Philippians 3 said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see the intensity in his words? The zeal? He was not going to let anything stand between him and the will of God. In the Song of Solomon, in that love letter that illustrates for us the love of Christ for his bride, the Shulamite there tries to encourage others to fall in love with Solomon. And what does she say in the Song of Solomon? She said, let us run after him. So she took off running. And she looked around and she was the only one. And sometimes it may feel like that. But saints, this is an individual race. You need to follow after Christ. We encourage others, let us run. And I thank God for the good number of folks that are zealous in their running, and I'm glad to run alongside of them. And there are times when I get tired, and you hear about all the strategies in running, and I know nothing about them, but in whether it's cycling or whatever it is, sometimes you have teammates that kind of help set the pace and also be a little windbreak for you from time to time. And it's an advantage to have teammates. I'm glad for those that are running together with me. But like Joshua, it really doesn't matter whether anybody else is going to run or not. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But you see, if you get enough people doing that in a local assembly, then we have what we call revival. We have people running to the door to get in instead of running to get out. We need to be intense about the things of the Lord. Well, let's close with Isaiah 40. Hebrews tells us to run with patience, because sometimes the race gets long and hard. As I said, we all have times when it'd just be easier to give up and sit along the side. That's when we need a fresh revelation of the prize. I do believe Jesus is coming. I believe that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I believe that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's been faithful in my life to supply everything I need, spirit, soul, and body. I can't point in my life to a lot of spectacular miracles that the world would just stand in awe about. But what I can look back on is the faithfulness of God to lead me every step of my life, to provide comfort and joy and wisdom and guidance, and to provide everything I need to bring Him glory and honor. But there are times when we do grow weary. In Isaiah 40, verse 28. And if you're here this morning and you say, Brother Doug, I know what you're saying is right, but I also have to admit that that doesn't describe me today. If that is your case, and yet you say, but you know, I want to. I do believe Jesus died for my sins, and I believe He's coming again, and that He's worthy of my full dedication to Him. If you're tired and weary, Isaiah 40 is for you this morning. You can get up and run today. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Does that describe you this morning? Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young people, if you haven't come up against a wall in your life yet, you're going to. Doesn't matter how smart or young, enthusiastic you are, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, this is the secret, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wanda, let's have a song in closing. No matter where you are this morning, or whether you are zealously running, which I know that many of you are, or whether you're one that is weary this morning, it doesn't matter. The Word of God has covered all the bases. The Holy Spirit here is to encourage those that are running, that though you've run faithfully, now it's even time, as the end is in sight. Let's pick up the pace. We're almost done. We're almost home. For those that have slacked off, the Holy Spirit is saying, not too late to start running. Let's run with all of your heart.